So this week's portion has a lot in it. It really does. And so we've already spoke about Pinchas himself. So let's go to chapter 26 for a moment. Because in 26, we have that second census that's being taken. And it's used to determine the land division. So let's just jump right on in. And we're going to read 26:52 through 54, just to get our feet wet. Adonai then spoke to Moses, saying, "The land is to be divided to those as an inheritance, according to the number of names. For the larger, you are to make this inheritance larger. To the smaller, you are to make the inheritance smaller. Each is to receive his inheritance in proportion to the population." Seems fair, right? The larger family needs more room. The smaller family doesn't need as much room. So everyone was happy. Everyone got what they would need, what they needed. Well, almost. Almost everyone. There was one family that had some concerns about it, right? And that concern was coming from the family of Zelophehad. And we're introduced to the families of Zelophehad in the start of 27. So 27:1 says, "The daughters of Zelophehad, sons of Hefer, son of Gilead, son of Mecher, son of Manasseh, of the family of Manasseh, son of Joseph, the names of the daughters were Malah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tizrah." Now, we actually know very little of Zelophehad. I knew I was going to trip over this name a couple of times. We actually know very little about Zelophehad. All we really know about him is what the daughters tell us in these next couple of verses. So, what do the daughters tell us? Verse 3 in 27. "Our father died in the wilderness, but he was not one of the followers banding together against Adonai with Korah, though he died for his own sin. Yet he had no sons. Why should our father's name diminish from his family just because he had no sons? Give us property among our father's brothers." See, the daughters told us about their father. He was not part of the rebellion, and they wanted to make that clear. That why should he be punished? Because he was not part of the rebellion. He died for his own sin. And his own sin was the same sin that that whole generation died for rebellion, back when the spies were sent out and they didn't go in, right? That whole generation who came out of Egypt, with the exception of just a few, dies off. Well, he dies without sons. The daughters knew, because Adonai said that the land was going to be divided up based on the census. And everyone knew the census was counted by the number of men in the family. It didn't count the women normally. In fact, there's no census in Scripture that counts the women. It always goes by the men. So they knew, based on the customs and the laws, that if it only goes by the men in the census, and they had no brothers, the father's name would be left out of the history books, basically. They would be forgotten, because the families were remembered based on the land. That's how the name gets passed along at that time. And it was for this reason that the daughters were unhappy. It wasn't the fact that they weren't receiving. They were worried about their father's legacy, his name, and whether it would live on. They didn't want his name forgotten and just fallen to the wayside. Therefore, the daughters did a few things that were unusual for the time, but right for the time, and things that we can learn from. See, they knew the heart of Adonai was not that their father would be forgotten, but that the family name should live on. Because that's who Adonai is. He doesn't want anyone forgotten. He wants us all to live on. So what they do doesn't really change the heart of Adonai. What it does is it just fills in his instruction to us. What they did didn't actually change Adonai's mind. It really just fills in. And we can learn from what they do. So let's jump in and see what they did. The first thing the daughters did was they acted in unity. In verse 2, we're told what they did, how they started. Verse 2 and 27:2 says, they stood before Moses, Eleazar the Kohen, and the princes of the entire assembly at the entrance of the tent of meeting and said, all the daughters stood. They didn't send just the oldest. They didn't send just the smartest. They didn't send just a few. They all went in unity to the men before the tent. And I'm sure that before they went, they came together in unity to pray as well. They prayed for unity. They prayed for the family name to be preserved and for Adonai to grant them land so that it would happen. See, as daughters, they knew their place in society. And unfortunately, at that point, as far as it was understood, the women were within Israel as low as you can go, basically. Right? We already said it was up the men's name that the family was remembered. It was the men's name that the family received the land. So the women had very little power and authority, so many thought. So being outspoken like that certainly wasn't the norm at the time. So that was the first thing they did that was important. They came together in unity and they prayed. They recognized, the next thing they did was they recognized that their sin was not their father's sin, or their father's sin was not their sin, would be better said. Their father's sin was not theirs. They didn't sit there and go, woe is me, our father sinned, therefore we're being punished. They knew the heart of Adonai, and that was not the heart of Adonai. They acknowledged his sin, right? They said, our father died in the desert for his own sin. So it's not that they came before him and said, hey, our father was great and wonderful and perfect, and we deserve the land because of that. No, their father was who he was. Sin just like everyone else. But they didn't take on the burden of the father's sin. And, you know, this reminds me of people who take on the burden of generational curses. You know, we hear it all the time. My father was an alcoholic, so I drink. My father had issues of rage, so I get angry. I come from a family with divorce in it. It just kind of runs through the family, through the generations. They take root in the family. But I don't believe that a demon spirit actually gloms onto a family. I know there are those who do believe it. But I don't believe a demon spirit gloms on and they have no choice about it. What happens is the father has his own issues, demons, let's call them even, their own sin and the things that happen because of the sin. And what happens is in the family, they see the actions that he takes and it becomes learned to them. This is how a family is. A family is just dysfunctional. They just yell at each other all the time. They just fight all the time because, hey, that's how I grew up. My father drank before, you know, I just wake up, I have a beer. Isn't that the norm for everybody? You know, this is not this. This is not necessarily where you're meant to be. In fact, this is not where you're meant to be. We have the ability to break that off of ourselves through the Ruach HaKodesh and the love and mercy of Yeshua. Look at Ezekiel 18:19. It says, "Yet you say, why does the son not bear the iniquity of the father with him? When the son has done what is lawful and right, has kept all my statutes and has done them, he will surely live. The soul that sins, he will die. The son will not bear the iniquity of the father with him, nor the father bear the iniquity of the son with him. The righteousness of the righteous will be on him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be on him. Each one bears the burden of his own sin." We have the power to break off those learned things that we've seen in our family before, and we think they're just rolling down through the generations. They don't have to roll through our generations. We can stop them right now, right here, before they hit our families. It's only our own actions. It's only what we accept that these things happen. And maybe we do need to be prayed over so that we can break them. And when we say break them, when I say break them, I mean so that we don't accept this demon who's crouching at our door, who wants to pounce like a lion. We have that ability through the Ruach HaKodesh, through the Messiah Yeshua. We do not need to accept our fathers, our mothers, our families' burdens of their sins. We do not need to accept those things. All right. The next thing these daughters did is they all came in agreement. Even against, as I said, even against the current understanding of the inheritance laws. They all knew the facts. They all knew what the inheritance laws were at the time. But after prayer, they acted upon it. And you know, there's great power and unity in prayer. I've said that over and over again. And we can tell, we know this because of Psalm 133. It's a short psalm. I'll read the whole thing of David. It's a psalm of ascents of David. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brother to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, Aaron's beard, coming down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there Adonai commanded the blessing, life forevermore." It's the unity that comes down. It's the oil that's coming down, and the oil represents not just the spirit, but the unity of them acting together. And it's because of this sweetness of unity that Adonai commanded a blessing forevermore, as it says in the final verse there. That's the reason we come together on Tuesday evenings to pray in unity, because then we can break bonds. We can break things. We can ask Adonai to command that blessing of healing, the blessing of salvation. That's what we're looking for. The other thing that the daughters did, and I alluded to this earlier, is they didn't look at the current situations that they were in, the circumstances that were around them. We know Adonai wants us moving forward. He never wants us working backwards. You know, we talk about putting on the full armor of God. And that was right after, you know, that illusion, that imagery is the Russian, the Roman armor that was worn at the time. Well, what do you know about it? It had the breastplate Does it ever talk about the plate that's on his back? No. There was no plate on his back because they were never to turn their back on the enemy. They were never to go backwards. You're always meant to press forward. Going forward in the Lord is where the protection is. So we're always to go forward. We don't forget the circumstances, but it doesn't mean that we get afraid of the circumstances either. They didn't, the ladies, these daughters, didn't look to see, you know, well, we have no brother. We'll have no land. That's just going to have to be who we are. No, they didn't look at that set of circumstances. They went into prayer. They found what the will of the Lord is. And then they pressed forward, even to Moses and the Kohen, and the people who were sitting at the tent of meeting. And they probably knew even better than Moses himself what Adonai wanted at that time. Because they go in and they tell Moses what they believe is right and what is morally right as well, to share the land with them. Rav Shaul tells us in Ephesians 3 to keep looking forward and with that positive attitude, starting in verse 12 of Ephesians 3. Not that I have already attained this or been perfected, but I press on if only I might take hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God and Messiah Yeshua. Therefore, let all who are mature have this attitude. And if you have a different attitude in anything, this also God will reveal to you. I had to throw in that extra verse because I love the way this ends. Because it starts with press forward. Go forward in Adonai. Know what he wants. Go forward in it. And for those who are mature, you should know this. But then it ends up with, but if you have a different attitude in anything, this also God will reveal to you. If you don't think you should be pressing forward, if you don't think God is great, if you don't think God is merciful, go into prayer and he'll reveal this to you, that he is. He'll reveal it. Because that's truly the only thing that he is. Everything you need him to be, that's what he is. Amen. The only time we should be looking back as a people of God is to look back at what he has done for us. To remember the mighty acts he's done so that we can continue our walk forward with confidence. Looking back is only to build up confidence. That's the only reason to look back. Grow your faith by remembering what Adonai has done in your life. And if you're in such a place that you can't remember, go into Scripture, because we are all part of Israel. When we accept who he is, we're grafted in, and therefore the things he did to Israel are the things he did for us. That's why Jewish people say, when we were at the Red Sea, it parted for us. It doesn't say, you know, Jewish people don't say, when they were there. They say, when we were there, because as a Jewish person, you are there. Every time we go through the Passover, it always says, and we as a people, and we, and we, and we. Because we Zakor, we remember the things as we were there as a people. We are a people. Therefore, what happened before happened to us. So we can build ourselves up to remember the great things that Adonai has done for us. They knew, the daughters knew what to do because they knew Torah. You know, many people look at the daughters and they think, well, some of the commentary said they were like lawyers. They knew Torah. So therefore, they knew how to approach Moses. They knew what Torah said. Torah said, count, take the census, divide the land based on the names in the census. What they knew Torah did not say was what would happen if there were no sons. Torah was silent about that. They were silent about what to happen if there were no sons. So they brought the question to Moses. They did what they were supposed to do. I don't understand what happens if there are no sons. Here, I'm bringing it to you. Moses looked at the question and said, good question. I don't know. And what did he do? He went up the ladder. He went to Adonai himself and said, here's the question. If there are no sons, what to do? Adonai didn't change his mind. He just clarified. If there are no sons, give it to the daughters. If there are no daughters, give it to the uncles. If there are no uncles, give it to the closest relative. Was this a change of Adonai's mind? No, it was a clarification of what he spoke earlier. Why did the daughters know to get this clarification? Because they knew Torah. Maybe they were lawyer-like. Obviously, they did some listening while Moses spoke. That's how they knew. You know, there are many things that are spelled out in Torah. Many things spelled out in Torah. There are many things that are not spelled out in Torah. Sometimes it's because it doesn't matter. It doesn't spell out what kind of cereal I should eat in the morning in Torah. I get to choose. Sometimes I don't see what's spelled out in Torah, so I go to someone above me and I ask. And they tell me, here's what you missed. That's okay. We're all learning. And sometimes the person I ask has to say, I don't know. Let's pray about it for a while and see what Adonai reveals. That's a fine answer too. We always need to go up the ladder, though. If we don't understand, if it's not expressed in Torah, it's okay to ask the question. Jeremiah 33, 2 and 3 says, thus says Adonai the Maker, Adonai who formed it to make it firm. Adonai is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you great and hidden things which you do not know. Two points to it. First of all, it was the reason that perhaps part of the reason that the daughters went to prayer first. They called to him, Adonai, to find out the things that they did not know yet. And second, then they went, once they got it, they went because now they knew what to do. And the thing they were told what to do was not just go and start grabbing land. The thing to do was to go to Moses, knowing that Moses would know what to do. And praise God, Moses knew what to do was to go to Adonai to find out what to do. You know, there was How to enter into this next section. Sometimes we just have to be careful about what we hear, what to do. Because sometimes we think we hear the voice of Adonai, and it's really ourself. Or we think we hear the voice of Adonai, and it really could be Satan whispering into our ear. So what do we have to do? We have to test everything. When I was younger and working at a bank, I worked and I had a supervisor who, for whatever reason, didn't find favor with me. At one time, she did, and we got along very well. But for whatever reason, and I never quite figured out why, for whatever reason, I no longer was in favor for her, with her. And my first instinct was to, you know, combat her and fight her and with my words, even curse her. And Adonai spoke to me about that and said, bless her. You know, bless the one who's coming against you, and then you'll be released. And I can say that to be honestly true twice in my career, that I've had people above me that I had to, you know, with it, I did not want to, but I did pray blessing upon them. And very soon after that, I was released from them, or they were moved in whatever way, or I was moved. Here in the Torah portion, the daughters may have felt the same way. Why am I not getting, why is my father's name going to be forgotten? This just isn't fair. But they prayed and got direction on what to do. And then they were able to move victoriously forward. And it was not just for their own victory. But I have to figure, through history, he was not the only man to die without sons. But the blessing goes on, the name lives on, because of the clarification that they received. It not only clarified the laws about inheritances, it gives us a better clarification of women in society. Right? It says that the women now can obtain the inheritances of land, so to make sure that the name continues. It made sure that the people of Israel knew that women really weren't, what did I say at the beginning? The very lowest of society, that they had no power and authority. Now, all of a sudden, there's a clarification. Women aren't there. They really are meant to be our helpmate. And our helpmate is not 10 steps behind us, men. Our helpmate is right beside us. They're not in front of us. They're not behind us. They're right beside us for our good. There's a reason Adonai placed them there. So the final point to be made today, and this is a message, is this a really a message just for females? Is this really just the ladies? Who are you and the Lord? Well, the truth is, we are all daughters of Adonai. Men, you may not want to admit it, but you're a daughter. You're a daughter of the Lord, right? You are called a daughter of Zion. We are all to take up this message with the same strength that they did, the same strength as everyone should. It is a great tale, a great lesson to be learned that Adonai considers all to be equal. And we see this in the New Covenant over and over again. A couple of times, Rav Shaul writes, as we've read in Galatians when we're doing our study, right? There's no male and female. There's no Jew and Gentile. All are meant to be observed as equals in Adonai. Doesn't mean that there aren't men and women or Jew and Gentile. It just means that we're equal in the sight of Adonai. So that's what we're called to do. Take up our strength in the Lord. How do we do that? We do it by not accepting the things of the past in our family as being ours. We do it by not accepting the sins of our father as being our own sins. The burdens that they carried be the burdens that we should be carrying. We do it by coming into agreement and unity with each other. We do it by not looking at our circumstances and saying, this is where I'm stuck. But instead by looking at Adonai and his love and his mercy and knowing where he wants us to be. And we do it by knowing Torah. We do it by knowing Torah because when we get to know Torah, we get to know Adonai. Because Adonai is Torah. Torah is Adonai. What do we call our scroll? The living word. Yeshua himself. That's who we're called to be. We are called to be a living word. We are called to be the ones who shine light into the world as well by walking out the Torah in our lives. How do we walk out Torah in our lives? By knowing Torah. How do we know Torah? By reading Torah. What do I mean by Torah? More than just the first five books. Yes, technically that was what Torah is. But all of the Tanakh, all of the Brit HaKadoshah, all of the written word, the lore of Adonai, is meant for us to learn so that we can walk it out with him and so that he can live through us, so that we can do his will, so that we can do the good deeds and the good works that he calls us to do. Amen. Father, we thank you that you've called upon us as a people to act in your as a vessel for you. So we ask, Ruach HaKodesh, help us to walk out our path. Help us to throw off those burdens of the past that maybe we've carried for much too long. Because our family did it this way, that's why we do it. Because our fathers were that way, that's why we are. Because our mother was that way, that's why we are. No. Help us to be like you are. We do not call, I don't call for us to forget our family. I call for us to be improved by the Ruach HaKodesh to become more like you, Lord. So help us to remove ourselves from those burdens of our past, our family's past. Help us to move in agreement and in unity as family, as a congregation, as family, as brothers and sisters, as family of all humanity even. Help us to move together. Help us to see past our current circumstances to what you would have happen about us. And then help us to be the one to change the current circumstances to what you would have us do. And above all, help us to know Torah. As we read it, open our eyes and open our minds so that it's not just dry reading. So it's not just, you know, like reading a newspaper. Oh, look what it says. Close the newspaper and put it aside. But help us to open your word. Make it fresh and anew every single time. And then help us to place it in our heart and in our minds so that we can live it out. Change us every time we read and hear your word, O Lord. By your Ruach HaKodesh. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace that comes through the Ruach that comes through Yeshua by his salvation mercies and comes through you, Adonai, Abba, the one who created all. Father, we just thank you that you give us your word and then you give us eyes and minds that are open to absorb it, understand it, and be changed by it. And we just thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.